The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m., or it might be Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. We're on twice a week to talk about your career, dissect the job market, look at every talent pool out there, discuss every workplace issue that can be discussed. This is the amalgam of 31 years on the air between radio and television, covering the same basic workplace ground. And we also, you know, branch out a little bit. We talk a lot about the economy on this radio show. There were interest rate hikes this week, thankfully only a quarter of a point, but again, this affects everything that's out there, including real estate, and that is going to be the subject of tonight's show. We have an expert's expert with us by the name of Joe D'Onofrio. He's an associate broker with Douglas Elliman Real Estate. Joe has been helping people buy and sell homes on Long Island for over 35 years, year after year, with the help of his wife. Joe continues to be one of the top brokers on Long Island from Montauk to Manhattan. Douglas Elliman Real Estate is the largest real estate company in New York. And we have some great questions for Joe. And Joe, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
You made a voyage here on Jobline.
Yep, my first time.
And we sort of need a real estate professional, because we've been covering the economy. We know that what happens in the economy directly impacts what's happening in the real estate market. It directly impacts the stock market. It directly impacts interest rates. It directly impacts the supply chain. All the crazy stuff that's happening in our world right now. Although you can't blame climate change on real estate. So those two things are unrelated.
That is true.
But one thing I want to talk about first is there are three types of homeowners here on Long Island. You have your condo people. You have your townhouse people. Lots of townhouses are being built.
Yeah.
A new one just went up not far from me in Hopog. And then you've got your home owner, right? And they could be anywhere from inexpensive to expensive, very expensive,
right,
depending on where you live on Long Island. So what my question really is does a home accrue value significantly faster than a townhouse? And does a townhouse accrue value faster than a condo? Or is it close? Give us an idea, because a lot of people aren't sure, and townhouses and condos are cheaper. So, you know, you on Long Island, you spend a fortune for a house. So the question is, how does it break down? How do they compare?
So with years ago, when you first sold your house and you wanted to get into a townhouse or a condo or even a co-op.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing we have to speak about, is co-ops. And you used to be able to take half that money, put it in the bank, and take the other half and go buy a condo or a townhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the American way when condos came out. Then the builders realized that they could take all your money for condo, townhouse living. So now what's happening now in 2000, actually started in like 1995 even. It's almost the same money. You're just plopping your money into that different lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not putting that money in the bank anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, now the values of the townhouses, the condos, and your home pretty much stay stable. The only time it changes is when the market starts to take a change and it turns into a buyer's market.
Mm-hmm.
If it turns into a buyer's market instead of a seller's market, what ends up happening is the co-ops, the condos, and the townhouses, they take the hit first,
mm-hmm,
in decreasing in value. Starts with the co-ops, then it goes to a condo, and then it goes to a townhouse.
Mm. All right, so let's use an example.
Sure.
So I bought my current townhouse in 2012.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
I had owned a house in Fort Salonga for 24 years. It got to be a little bit too much. I was getting older.
Right.
I almost killed myself in my driveway. Long story.
Yeah.
But we decided to sell. So my son had moved out. We had a swimming pool. We had gardens. We had landscaping. It was costing a fortune for two people to live there.
It's like Club Marriott.
Exactly. and people and relatives used it like that.
Right.
So yeah. Then we decided, okay, let's buy a townhouse. And we bought this lovely townhouse for about $370,000. This was 12 years ago.
Yep.
Three bedrooms, two and a half baths, skylights, walk-in closets. Really nice, you know, at least as much usable space as I had in my home in Fort Salonga,
right?
Without all the amenities. So we're very happy there. We've been happy a very long time. We're 12 years into a 25-year mortgage at this point. I'm going to be selling in a few years.
Right.
But the question that I'm asking is, had I bought a house 12 years ago, regular house?
Right, just downsized to a smaller house.
Would it have gone up the same percentage value as my townhouse would? And what if I would have bought a condo? What would they all be worth? In other words, it was 2012, so it's,
right.
You have a finite amount of time here, 11 years.
Right.
So in 11 years, how good did I do on my townhouse, and how would I have done on my home or my condo?
Again, like I said earlier, about the same. It's your condo right now. Back in 2012, if you paid $3,000-$3,250 for it, it's probably worth double.
Okay, and the townhouse I paid $374,000. You're saying that might be worth double?
Yeah,
over the twelve years.
Yeah, it's been crazy, and again, it's hand in hand with housing as well. Mm. If you bought a small Cape Cod or something, you know, for $370,000, same thing.
Okay,
it's worth $650,000 now.
Now along the way, we put money into it, so we put in wood floors. We put in. A patio in the back, a concrete patio in the back, you know, which is nice in a townhouse community.
Right.
We painted the place. We, you know, we've done certain amounts of work. I assume you get. Oh, and we upgraded our kitchen. We did a bathroom. Oh my God. So bathroom, kitchen, right? So you got to figure between the bathroom and the kitchen and the wood floors and everything, we put another $40,000. Easy, maybe $50,000
right.
into the house. So now it's $420,000 is what I spent on it.
Sure.
And you're thinking that I might be able to get $640,000.
Well, you'll get a little bit more because of the improvements that you made.
Okay.
So you'll get that money back in this market.
So we get
you'll get it back.
Okay. Now there's a thing called comps.
Right.
Okay. Where the real estate broker comes to your place and says, well, the guy next door sold for $550,000, right? So you're not going to get $640,000 because this idiot next to you sold for $550,000 and made it easier to buy the house cheaper. Those comps are very powerful, right?
Yes, they are powerful, but you have to look at the layout. You have to look at the square footage. If it has to be, even if it's identical, it still depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. There's other factors that come into play. It's not just that cut and dry that if he sold for $550,000, because that could have been like a fluky thing that may necessarily, it all depends. Mm. I mean, if that's the value, then that's the value. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people say to me, you know, well, how do I get more money? Who, you know, if the market's hot, but the last one sold for $550,000, how are you going to get $700,000 for mine? Mm-hmm. And one of the things we do is we meet with the appraiser and we also show him or her that we have backup offers on it. Mm-hmm. And when you show them that will lead them to give you the value that you're looking for. Because you see that the market's in the middle of a change, right? We're in the middle of a change. So somebody has to be like the guinea pig, so to speak.
Okay.
You know, and that's how we do that with the appraisers.
So good idea to get Douglas Elliman on the case here and get that information. All right. So another thing is the economy right now. So looking back, I'm going to go back to the third quarter of 2022. Things started breaking down.
Right.
Right. We had our company did fabulously well in the first two quarters of 2022. Third quarter and fourth quarter were not as good. We're, of course, in the executive recruiting business. So people stopped hiring at the same pace in certain industries that we work in. And of course, now it's getting a little bit worse. Interest rates are going up.
Yep.
And that has affected mortgage rates. So, you know, tell me how, as it stands now, is this a good time to buy a house, or is it now getting, you know, difficult because the interest rates are, even if you get a good deal on a house, the interest rates are going to still keep that payment high.
Right. So the thinking is you're going to refinance. The slogan that agents have been kicking around is you date the rate and you marry the house, meaning the house you're having long term and the rate can be temporary.
Right. So what you're saying is in 2-3 years, things go back to normal and the rates go back to very low. You could refinance.
Right. And there's always more and more programs. The banks are coming out with more and more programs now to make it affordable for the first couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe now if the interest rate's 6.5%, you can do an adjustable rate that'll start as low as 5.5%. Mm-hmm. You know, even 5% is out there. Mm-hmm. There's all different programs. And they're coming out more and more now because of this. The bank, you know, the mortgage banks, that's all they do for a living. Mm. You know, they're not loan and savings bank. So what else can they do?
Right.
They have to stay, you know, I mean, people can only afford so much.
Right.
So you have to give them that little Band-Aid, so to speak, to get them into the house. And then you can, yeah.
Do you think the mortgage banking industry is affected by this latest banking issue that we're having here in our country?
It trickles down to us like a couple of months later. It doesn't happen instantly. Like a lot of people think, oh my God, my interest rate that the mortgage broker gave me today is not going to be good tomorrow because of this. It trickles down, like takes like 3-4 months for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people lock in. You can lock in your rate before you actually find a house, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of banks are doing that. The banks are being very competitive now.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
So it's promising then for the home seller, and then how about the home buyer?
The problem right now, the reason why the values are staying so ridiculously high, mm-hmm. nothing has changed at all because of the interest rates. Mm-hmm. The values have been going up, mm-hmm. and they went up even more because the inventory in the last 90 days, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse or lessened, it's gotten even worse.
So
now the values have gone up even more. So if your house was worth $700,000 6 months ago, now it's worth $730,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about the buyers? So the buyers are getting the incentives from the mortgage rates, as you had just said.
Right.
What about the sellers? Is this a good time to sell your house?
It's a good time to go if you know where you're going. Mm-hmm. Every time someone says to me, oh my God, my house has so much equity in it. I'm mm-hmm. like, that's great, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson. Mm-hmm. But my concern as your realtor is where are you going? Mm-hmm. I don't want you to put it on the house, put it on the market, and then we're scrambling on where to go. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes unscrupulous realtors do that.
Yeah.
They don't care about where they're going to.
Yeah. I make just about every mistake that a person can make, Joe, and I made that one.
Yeah.
So we sold our house in Fort Salonga. Actually, there was sort of a collapse going on at the time. It was back 13, 14 years ago when the mm-hmm. end of the Great Recession was still happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And my house, I was hoping to get a lot more for it.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I got, you know, whatever I got. But I sold it in a week.
Yeah.
And I had no place to live.
Yeah.
And a guy bought it for cash. And I thought, oh my God, what are the odds that that's going to happen, right? I mean, who thinks that that's going to happen? So then I had to move into an apartment complex and take a short-term, I think a 3-month minimum lease on an apartment.
Yep.
And we lived at a place called Devonshire Court. I'm sure you're aware mm-hmm, of it in Hoppock. Not the greatest place, yeah. You know, but we were there a few months and it gave me a taste for apartment living. Right. And then we founded this townhouse that I told you about, moved in, and we've been happily ever after. But I think a lot of Long Islanders right now are getting a little skittish because those of us that have our money tied up in our equity, so far the equity has been fine. You know, the economy has not, but that's the right. equity is still good.
Right.
So, but we're all worried that it's going to drop a little bit.
Right.
Look what happened to the stock market.
Right.
Right. I mean, even Wednesday, the stock market went down 500 points simply because the Fed, you know, opened its mouth and said something. You
right.
know? So where do you see prices going? It's almost April of 2023. Where are we going to be in the summer? Where are we going to be by next year?
Well, here's the thinking. The thinking is, you know, I'm the guy that's doing this 36 years. I'm the guy with the boots on the ground. So I feel like I know more than somebody just looking at numbers and mm-hmm. looking at data, you know, because mm-hmm. I got my boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. So I tell everybody right now, the worst that's going to happen is over the next three, four, five, six, 7 years. The worst that's going to happen to you if you buy a house today is it's going to stay at that value. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see appreciation, maybe. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I think that's as ugly, if you want to call it ugly, mm-hmm. as it's going to get.
Now, if they ever fix this supply chain issue and get the economy back to the inflation rate down, you know, to where they want it, and the interest rates start coming down, that's going to help everybody.
That's going to bring the value. Well, yes, because we sell monthly payments as realtors. Mm-hmm. That's what we sell. Mm-hmm. So now there's more buying power.
Right.
So these people, these kids, they don't really care about what the purchase price is. They're looking at the monthly payment. Mm-hmm. So now they can, instead of it being 700, now the bank says they can go to 780 mm-hmm. and they'll happily pay it.
Right. So tell me about the rates themselves. So going back a year, what was the rate?
Interest Ballpark. Rates. Yeah, a year ago was probably about 5.5.
Okay. And now it's six and a half. Okay. And what's the difference for a payment with that extra percent? If you take a house that's worth the same amount, yeah. you know, and you got one extra point on the interest rate, how much can that affect the payment?
Depending on the mortgage amount, you know, typical on Long Island, probably $1,000-1,500.
Mm-hmm. $1,000-1,500 a year, a month?
A month.
A month. Okay. So yeah, that's a big nut.
Yes.
But if you're able to refinance in a couple of years,
right.
or 3 or 4 years,
correct.
Then you're only going to be paying that variable lower rate, and then maybe have the higher rate for a year or two before you can refinance.
Right.
In a worst case scenario.
Right.
So it's still a safe time to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the buyers are not getting skittish mm-hmm. at all.
Okay.
We have a list. I have a list right now of buyers. We just have no product
right.
to give them. So whenever I get something, it usually sells.
Right.
Like with your house, it right. sells in a week.
So here's the funny thing for people that are my age, a lot of boomers,
yes. okay,
is that we have our money tied up in investments.
Yep.
Those investments have taken a giant hit in the last year.
Right.
We have our money tied up in real estate. And that is about to stop accruing or maybe even go down a little bit. We don't know.
Right.
So people like my age are going, well, wait a minute. This is the wrong time for the recession. You know, I'm going to be retiring in a couple of years and I want to be able to, you know, take my investments and take my real estate value and plunk it down on some sort of an annuity or something that generates income and live happily ever after. But it's making people nervous.
That's right. That's right. So lack of inventory, lack of motivation as a homeowner to sell. It's yeah, there's not a lot going on. So the media always, if you look at the news lines in the media lately for the past 6 months, they're all saying that the market is down, the market, real estate's not doing well, real estate's not doing this, real estate's not doing that. And it's totally false. Mm-hmm. What's happening is the values are there, right? That's not down, mm-hmm. they're up. Mm-hmm. But they keep saying what they should clarify, and they don't clarify it, and it happens all over throughout all parts of the media, mm-hmm. is that they should be talking about the lack of sales that we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're not doing the same amount of numbers.
The quantity.
Right.
Right.
Right. But how's the market? Right. It's phenomenal.
Right. Right. But if you had houses, you could sell them.
Right.
Right.
Every one of them. Give me 100.
Right.
I could sell them all right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize there was that
we're,
still
we're,
that much.
We are backlogged there. So much. Typically, we're backlogged, you know, 2 months worth of inventory. Hmm. And now it's like 12 months of inventory. We have nothing to show.
Hmm.
Nothing to show people.
Wow.
And they're sacrificing left and right. They'll buy whatever, whoever's willing to let them have the house.
Okay. Now, people forget that many, many years ago, interest rates were sky high. I mean, I was having an argument with a friend of mine over yeah. breakfast, and he said, yeah, you remember when interest rates were like 16%? I said, no, interest rates were never 16%.
Yeah, they were.
How high did they get?
I think that was probably about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say it's about it.
But think about it, that's like triple what it is now.
Yeah, but at what purchase price? Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all relevant, right?
Right. So the purchase price
was $180,000.
Right.
Again, right. monthly payment.
Right.
Monthly payment. It's like a credit card.
Right.
If you can afford that monthly payment, the credit card company will can afford to charge you 28%.
Right. But I think you're also confirming that something that I always tell people, not that I know anything about this, but it's that real estate is still the best investment.
Always.
Always was, always
will.
I had a house in Levittown. I bought it for $44,000, 10% down PMI. I sold it for $144,000 after 10 years. So I had that $100,000, bought the house in Fort Salonga for $227,000.
Right.
Right. And now I'm in the townhouse, and I want to cash in and get out and go rent an apartment someplace and stop being a homeowner. I've had it with homeowners. It's enough. With the homeowners. All right. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. I have a great guy with me. Joe D'Onofrio knows everything there is to know about real estate. Before we go to the break, I want to just mention that our sponsor, Bishop, promoting people, businesses as brands. Regular listeners know we support a social media platform here on Jobline called Bishout. In a digital world where you have 3 seconds to stand out, Bishout sets a new marketing standard to promote content, creative resumes, and social ads. Visit their platform at bishout.com to join their alert list for the 2.0 experience that's coming. That's bizzshout.com. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. Anything related to the workplace or jobs, or if you have a company that's hiring, we'd love to have you on the radio program. Or if you have a subject like this, like real estate, which is directly related to everybody's success, write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. Also, connect with me on LinkedIn. We post these shows after they're broadcast on LinkedIn, so you can hear them all. And we'll be right back after this break.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Well, welcome back to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. You're listening to us on Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 or Wednesday night from 9 to 10. We're talking about real estate today. We've been talking about the economy. We've been talking about the stock market. We're trying to keep up with what's happening in the world of the economy. And real estate is one of those big pieces. Many people, as we know, are heavily invested in real estate. And that's their number one equity. And their number one, retirement plan is to use the equity in their home. So I want to make sure that listeners know what's happening to that money right now, how to spend it, how to prepare for what you're going to do. And before we continue, I'm just going to take 1 second, Joe. A person I recently got to know and like just passed away. His name is Ron Loveland. He was came on our show, talked about manufacturing. He goes into schools. He went into schools, talked to kids about getting into the manufacturing world. It was a grassroots thing. The guy was wonderful. I just adored the guy, and I just wanted to do a shout out to the Loveland family and say we're thinking of you. And we've all been there, so sure. We know what you're going through. Yep. And Ron was an awesome guy, and he was fabulous on Jobline, and we were looking forward to having him back. So anyway, we're joined by Joe D'Onofrio, an associate broker with Douglas Elliman. Joe has been helping people buy and sell homes on Long Island for 35 years. So if you really want the real scoop, you got to go with a guy like Joe. So Joe.
Thank you.
Let's say that you are selling your house.
Right.
And certainly strongly considering it right now for whatever reason.
Right.
Okay. There are things that you can do.
Yes.
To increase the marketability of your house, to increase the value of your house. Get us started.
Yeah. Simple things too. We're not talking about a lot of money. The biggest thing is declutter. Mm-hmm. Some people say, oh, this is the way I live, and this is the way, I said, no, you can't. Everything has to be model perfect. Mm-hmm. Everything's got to be just perfect, like you're walking into a model home. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing, tidying up, taking all the pictures down, any personal family photos, take all that stuff out, do the landscaping, things that, painting. Just a lot of elbow grease, just a lot of cleaning up, and decluttering. That's the biggie.
So I have one thing that bothers me.
Yeah.
In my house, I have 2 sinks in the master. One of the sinks, what do you call those things? The things you turn to get the water to come on.
The faucet?
It's a twin faucet. So you got hot and cold.
Right.
Okay. So one of them, I think it's the cold.
Right.
If you press it a little too hard, it's stripped. And so I was thinking if an inspector comes to the house,
right,
and turns that thing just a little bit harder than he needs to, he's going to find out that thing is stripped, and right. then boom, then I'm looking at, do I need to put in a new faucet or new hardware, you
right.
know, in my bathroom? So people worry about little things like that.
Well, that's by law, mm-hmm. as a licensed real estate broker, if I know about any of your problems with the house, I have to disclose it.
Mm-hmm. But is that considered a problem? The faucet does work.
No.
The faucet does work.
Yeah.
But would someone balk if the inspector got said, okay, well, I turned it and it's stripped?
The answer is not in this market. Not in the market that we're in right now.
Okay.
Right now, you cannot have running water in that sink.
Right. Okay. All right, that's good to know.
Yeah, and they'll still buy the house because it's a seller's market.
Okay,
so you can get away with a lot of stuff.
A lot of people have wood floors.
Right.
And wood floors are beautiful, yeah. but after 5 or 10 years, they right. start to look a little scratchy, you know, a little dingy,
sure.
not the same as what they did when you put them in.
Right.
Would you recommend that people shine up their wood? I mean,
it's
not a cheap thing. It's a couple of $1,000s.
If they can, then they can't. And they do what they can with some other products that they have, mm-hmm. you know, at the supermarket that you can to try to, you know, shine them up and fill in cracks and things like that.
Right.
That you can do, obviously, for a couple of bucks. But I do have, I have somebody for everything, mm-hmm. you know, that gives great prices.
Right.
So it's, you know, and they understand it's just for the selling of the house.
Yeah. It's kind of like a team you guys have. So
we do.
You want to help the seller get as much as they can.
Right. And if they're okay with me spending some of their money, I do it. And I can even get the bills paid after the closing.
Right.
So even if I say to them, look, I'm going to spend $3,000 of your money that you're going to get, but they'll wait to get paid. The vendors will get paid at the closing.
Right.
That's something that I can do that not many other brokers can do.
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah. And what about carpet? Now, this is another thing.
Yeah.
We have the original carpet.
Yeah.
Now, my unit is 25 years old.
Yeah.
We have the original carpet that
sure.
they put in when the unit was built.
Wow.
Only upstairs. The downstairs, I have the wood floors.
Right.
But upstairs, it's the... Now, the carpet is, you know, it's crummy. It's not awful. It doesn't have any holes in it or anything. It just doesn't look good.
Right.
You know? And I'm thinking, we should probably replace that carpet.
Absolutely.
It's not expensive.
Absolutely.
Carpet is one of those things that's just not that much money.
Well, there's carpet and then there's carpet.
There's carpet.
Of course. You know, years ago, it used to be wool, remember?
Right.
You know, when our parents had that carpet down, they spent...
Right.
You know, it wasn't even a lot of money. But it was wool, but yeah, you can get some very inexpensive nylon carpet
for $1,000
right.
or something. So
that
seems worth it.
It's of course because people want to know it's clean.
Right.
It's, you know, especially carpet. A lot of people don't like being on other people's carpet.
Mm.
So you do that, and at least they know they don't have to change it right away. They can do it whenever they're comfortable doing
right,
it.
Right. Right. How about paint? How about painting it?
Always paint. You know, a gallon of paint is worth, you know, so much money.
Mm-hmm.
It's money well spent.
Okay.
Always paint.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe another $1,000 to paint or a couple of
yeah.
thousand to paint.
Yeah.
You know, well, it depends on your house, really.
I mean, yeah, of
it
course.
It could be $5,000 to paint.
Right, of course. Right.
So okay. So paint, carpet. What else can we do?
Too
late for an upgrade, right? I mean, you know, you're not going to spend $20,000.
Well, I have a customer doing it right now, but that's a house for $1.5 million.
Right.
You know, so.
See, now there it would make sense.
Yes, right. So it all depends on the size of, you know, the size of the house, the neighborhood that you're in,
right.
things like that, because people will pay dearly. You know, if a typical home, you know, you mentioned, you know, your house is worth $750.
We think.
Another guy said, you know, just sold for $550. You know, did he have the brand new kitchen and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that stuff does give you a big return on your money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a smart investment. If you can afford to do it, it's money that will be well spent.
Yeah. So we didn't go crazy with the kitchen. You know,
sure.
We upgraded it. We didn't change the floor, but we did put new walls in. We had new appliances, and we put a microwave, matching microwave oven. You know, gas, beautiful. You know, really right in the center of it. Looks really nice.
Right.
Probably put about $20,000 into my kitchen.
Oh wow!
You know, but I could have put $40,000.
Of course.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. And now I've got a bathroom upstairs that I'm a little worried about too. It's getting a little peaked looking. It's the old style tile.
Right.
Not the tile from today.
Sure.
You know, tile that looks old.
Right.
But it's in good shape.
Right.
It's in good shape. So I left it, and I don't know if I'm going to get clipped there when I sell. Yeah, have you come over?
I would say probably do it.
Mm.
'Cause kitchens and baths, right? It hasn't changed. It's been that way for forever, for 100 years.
Right.
Kitchens and baths, that's what always gets you the biggest bang for your buck.
Right, and you got great contractors, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Well. Yeah.
And they're very fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, so what else can you do?
That's really it. I mean, anything else? I mean, what else can you do? We did, you know, you did your landscaping, you painted, you cleaned up the floors the best that you could. Mm-hmm. Any pet odors, they got to go.
Right.
And usually that's carpet. It's usually carpet. Usually you don't get pet odors in wood floors or anything
right.
like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. Now you got an inspector coming over.
Yes.
Okay. How can you prepare for that?
To prepare for the home inspection, you just want to, as a homeowner, you don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always good that you're not there, mm-hmm. Because sometimes they'll try to ask you, put you on the spot, and you may not be sure how to answer that question, and you don't want to answer it what might be a devastating way to the sale of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you're not being truthful or anything, but there's always the right way to answer with certain things.
Right.
So as a homeowner, I always tell them to skedaddle and get out of there for the home inspection. Other ways to prepare for it. Just make sure everything's working. And if something isn't working, be upfront about it. Mm-hmm. Don't try to hide it, you know, because it's going to come out in the home inspection anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the best thing to do.
Okay. Yeah. And then let's talk about appraisal.
Yeah.
You know, this is another mystery. People don't really understand how it works. There's such a thing as a real estate appraiser.
Right.
And they'll go into your house. They know what to look for. They know how to compare it. They know the deal. They know everything. So how do people, you know, get the most for their house when an appraiser is really the one, you know, saying this is how much you should charge?
Just clean and presentable. That's it. Clean and declutter. Just keep the house prepared just like we were putting it on the market. Just keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we have a buyer and then 2 weeks later the appraiser comes, you don't let the house fall into a shambles like, you know, can't go back to the way you were living.
So if the sale doesn't go through and then you get another buyer who's got another bank, do you right. get a different appraiser again?
Oh, yeah.
So you keep getting new appraisers until the house is sold.
Sure. An appraisal is an opinionated thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opinion.
Well, this is what's bothering me.
Right.
Is that it seems a little arbitrary.
Yeah, it is. It is. So it's my job to keep that guy in line.
Right. So do you work with certain appraisal companies?
You're not allowed to anymore.
Allowed
About
to
20 yet. Years ago, they stopped doing that.
Right.
Appraisal companies used to be a part of the banks,
mm-hmm.
but now they're not. Now it goes into a lottery. Your appraisal goes into a lottery,
right.
and an appraiser calls you up and just says, I'm here to appraise for Chase Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not allowed to have an appraiser on salary, mm-hmm. on your payroll as a bank.
Makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Makes sense, because yeah. otherwise it seems a little too early to do shifty stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So these guys always know what they're doing? Can we trust an appraiser?
Sometimes not. They are licensed. You do have to get a license, just like being a real estate broker or real estate agent. But sometimes they're just not paying attention. Sometimes they'll forget to look in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why it's important that your realtor is there
right.
to make sure he shows and points out everything.
Right.
You know, I'll have a list prepared of everything that was done to the house in the past 10 years.
Right.
If you did a new kitchen, if you did the roof, if you did a bathroom, if you put new motors in your garage doors, things like that, if you put a new driveway in,
right.
It's important that the appraiser has all that.
Right.
You don't want to just rattle it off to him. You want to hand it to him on a nice sheet of paper.
I always like to think that I'm the best salesman for my own stuff,
right?
But I'm not. If I was the person selling a house without a broker,
right?
Okay, I'm sure I would mess it up somehow, because I don't know all the nuances. But I would be able to say, well, I fixed this at this year, and I fixed that at this year, and I upgraded this here, and I spent here's my receipts, you know, and I would be able to do all that.
And that's the wrong thing to
the
say.
Wrong thing.
If you personally did the work. You personally did the work. That's mm-hmm. always a no-no.
Right.
Yeah. You want to just, you know, if anybody asks, we just say that, you know, you put a new kitchen. No one wants to hear that, you know, Mr. Scott, pride and joy, mm-hmm. you know, because he's retired, did that whole kitchen from scratch with his own two hands.
Right. Right.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Well, that's not going
to
happen, Joe. So
there's a lot of handy people
now,
out there.
Are some of these home improvement companies more reputable and do better jobs than others? For example, well, I won't mention a name, but we had our bathroom done by a very well-known home improvement company.
Sure.
and we had our kitchen done by sort of a nobody, you know, that just went to Consumers Kitchens and Baths and picked out the stuff.
Right.
And he did all the work, and it came out great. You know, so I wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Right.
You know, as to whether or not it was a multi-million dollar company or some private contractor.
Well, chances are you're paying, you know, you probably save yourself $10,000 by letting that guy do it, mm-hmm. as compared to the guy that has all the advertising he has to pay for,
right.
and everything like that.
Right.
You know, so.
All right. So, but it almost pays to reach out. You know what I'm thinking, Joe? It almost pays to reach out to the real estate broker first.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they have the connections.
Absolutely.
With good contractors and can put your house in the best possible
shape. I have a house that's been winterized all winter that I had to sell and do open houses at. That was totally winterized. No water running, no heat. It was colder in the house than it was inside the house.
Oh, my goodness.
It was horrible. It was horrible, but he was insistent on it. Mm. So now we have a buyer for it, and we have to turn the heat on. Mm-hmm. So he's like, every plumber I call wants around $3,000 to $4,000 just to get everything up and running. My plumber got everything up and running for $300 or $400.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have plumbers?
Of course, everything.
Oh, you're an important
everything.
You're an important
everything.
Man. We can't get a plumber.
People keep in touch with me all the time.
Right.
It's not just about the sale.
Right.
It's all about staying in touch with me for whatever you need, you know, with your home.
Right.
I don't care if it's a driveway. I don't care if it's the roof. I have a guy that will do it that's licensed and will do it for less than somebody that has a lot of big advertising expense.
Because we've had some plumbing issues, and we're scraping to get a plumber to come. Isn't this amazing?
Right.
I mean, this is one of the most desirable fields. If you're a blue collar person,
oh.
and you're not going to go to college and get some sort of white collar job,
right?
Be a plumber. I mean, they make great money. They make their own hours.
Yeah.
They go on vacations. They go. I mean, I never saw anything like this.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the unsung career paths.
That's right.
In this world,
they make a very good living.
And electricians.
Yes.
Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. They do well too. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about real estate as a field.
Okay.
To go into.
Sure.
Now, a lot of us already know that it doesn't have a big salary. So when you started a real estate firm, you're basically on commission.
Correct.
You got to sell a house.
Right.
To make any money. Give us the profile of a person that's going to be successful in real estate.
You need to be disciplinary. You need to be able to discipline yourself because you're your own boss.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody tells you what to do. You know, you have to let people tell you what to do and believe in what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have a good coach, you know, a good manager person to show you the ropes. And if you do everything that I tell you to do, you will make money.
And then there's a lot of courses you have to take, you know, right? You can't just jump and start selling houses.
Well, you can, and that's the problem.
Mm.
Yeah, and it was very disheartening when I first started in the business.
Mm.
I was on every volunteer board and everything with Multiple Listing Service, Long Island Board of Realtors, and I did everything. And I went to the CEO of our MLS system, and I says, you know, can we make it a little more difficult to get a license,
mm-hmm.
like an associate's degree or something? Because I'm seeing all these people that aren't really, you know, they're not educating themselves properly. And
so
not,
they don't have any college necessarily.
Nothing.
Any college background. Okay.
Nothing. In 10 weeks, you can get your real estate license.
10 weeks.
It's horrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does something like that cost?
$400.
Wow.
If that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a ready-made career you can do.
Yeah.
It's a good second career.
Yeah, yeah, people,
right?
Yeah.
Because you don't need the money right away.
Right.
You know, and you need to be a hustler, I would think. Somebody that's going to, you know, get out there and...
Yeah,
and
yeah, you have to talk to people.
Knock on doors.
Knock on doors, get on the phones. You have to just talk to people. Talk to your sphere of influence.
Mm.
You know, let people know what you're doing.
All right, let's talk about rentals.
Yeah.
So, Long Island, not a great place for rentals.
Oh, gosh.
Okay?
It's horrible.
We have many homeowners on Long Island that split up their house and actually let you live in part of their house. I know that's probably not legal. It's probably not legal.
No, it is.
Okay.
You can get a permit for that.
All right. So, whatever. But
yeah.
A lot of people don't have a permit, and they still do it.
Right. Sure.
So those are, you know, relatively inexpensive apartments, and they got backyards and so on. But if you go to Fairfield Properties or any of these
Avalon,
I was thinking of the other one, you're going to pay top dollar.
$3,000 plus.
Okay, what about a one bedroom?
23 if you're lucky.
Two bedroom?
29.
Three bedroom?
35.
Wow.
And you're in an apartment building. You're not even in a house.
Right, right. So it's brutal on the rental. Okay, and of course you get no equity. You get nothing. You're just giving that money away.
Right.
But it does seem inviting to someone like me that's been a homeowner for all these years.
Oh, people do it.
And I would like to rent. And I was talking to you outside before we started the show about maybe moving to another part of the country. Now, not everybody can go to Florida.
Right.
You know, my wife doesn't want to go to Florida. So that takes care of that.
Right.
So I'm going to have to live somewhere close enough to New York to see my granddaughter.
Right.
But where? Where am I going to live? Where are the apartment rentals cheap?
You got to get off the island.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I knew that.
Yeah.
You know, but are there certain meccas of where people are going, you know, nowadays, you know, where it's attractive?
Not really.
Yeah.
Nothing that's nearby.
Wow.
You know, like you mentioned earlier, maybe Pennsylvania or something like that.
Right.
I don't really get those questions very often
right.
for that inexpensive of an apartment.
So almost all of your people that are buying are getting into another buy.
They're
not leaving to rent.
Right. They're not continuing to rent.
No. Right. But you could see why a boomer would want to give up the house and rent.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And they just rent. They just pay the $3,500, $3,000.
Yeah. Well, that would be me because I just think that's too much. What are you really getting? You know, we have no mass transportation system on Long Island. What are you getting for your $3,500?
Right.
I just don't think Long Island is a good place to rent.
You would think you can give up your car payment or something to justify it.
Yeah, but they need to build more affordable housing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, are you involved with anything like that? I mean, is there a movement, you know, to get more? I mean, it seems like Long Island's also the home of NIMBYism.
What they do now, you know, our newest governor is pushing for all these develops that have been sitting on shelves, mm-hmm. they're getting built now all of a sudden all over Long Island.
Okay.
So that's happening. And if there's 100 units, maybe 5 of them are affordable.
Yeah.
I know. That's it.
You got to be lucky. All right. Tell people how they can reach you, Doug. You got a website?
Yeah. Then my website is alllongislandhomes.com. www.alllongislandhomes.com.
Okay. And that's you or that's Douglas Elliman?
That's mine.
That's mine, okay.
That's, you know, that's the D'Onofrio team, Joe D'Onofrio, the D'Onofrio team.
Okay, terrific. And is there an email address if people want to write to you?
My email is joseph.donofrio@elliman.com. You can just Google Joseph D'Onofrio, and I'll just blow up on Google.
Oh, wonderful. Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here, Joe, and giving us some real great tips on how to deal with the real estate market right now. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. Happy to have you or your idea on the show. Connect with me on LinkedIn, folks, and you'll be able to hear all the Radio Jobline recordings. See you next week. Have a great week, everybody. Happy hunting.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.